Please turn to Acts chapter 9 this morning. Acts chapter 9. Let us pray. Lord, how amazing and marvelous you are to us. Lord, we know your mercies are renewed each morning. Lord, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. Lord, you have provided a way back into a relationship with you that was lost because of sin. So Lord, we ask, Lord, as we look in your precious word, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. And Lord, those who are going down the wrong path, may they turn and get on the right path. And Lord, may the born again find courage and encouragement and comfort, Lord, in the way. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 9. In my personal Bible study, I've been reading through Acts and studying through Acts, and I've noticed that Christians, or the Christian movement, when it came from the Jewish religion, that it was called the Way. And Christians were followers of the Way. I have one passage of Scripture, and there's about two or three others that speaks this way in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, listen to this. It says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." That's just one example of others in the book of Acts that Christians were called the followers of the way. They were in this way. Now, you and I, we're also followers of the way. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means to be a follower. And to be a follower of Christ, his way that we are to take in life is being in God's will, being in the way. So this morning, I'd like to speak with you about being in the way. Now, there is a wrong way to follow. Everyone agree with that? Maybe you've been down the wrong way in life, or you may be going down the wrong way right now. But there is certainly a wrong way to follow. Now, it says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says this, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So man thinks that, you know, mankind thinks that there is a way that just seems right. And man's way sometimes can say it like this. Well, this just feels right. This feels right. This has to be right because it feels right. Well, feeling right is the wrong way. Okay? When it just feels right. Sometimes the way of man, everyone else is doing it, so it must be right. Well, look at them. They're doing it. Or look at this group. They're doing it. But just because everyone else is doing it, being a parent, what do we say to our children? If they went and jumped in the lake, would you do it? My answer was, well, if it's hot. Wait, I shouldn't have said that in front of the children. But, you know, we teach that to our children. But humanity is like that because we want to have a sense of belonging sometimes. And because everyone else is doing it, then it must be okay for me to do it also. Here's the big one of the day. It's legal. Huh? Lord, help us. Just because it's legal in the United States doesn't mean it's the right way. Most time it's the wrong way when it pertains making laws on social issues and on morality. Okay? So just because it's legal can mean it's the wrong way to follow. Or here's another one. I don't think I'm hurting myself, and here's the big one. I'm not hurting others. You ever heard that one? Just because you're not hurting yourself or no one else is involved, consenting adults and not hurting others, it can be the wrong way to follow. So to a man, though, this is a way that seems, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Now here's some more examples. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, as we're talking about, there is a wrong way to follow. Now the Word of God shares with us the way of life. But also the Word of God has warnings in it, and it is like those wrong way signs on a major interstate. You ever go across, coming out on a major highway, and if you look going down the wrong way where the traffic's supposed to go this way, but if you look this way against the flow of traffic, there is always two big old red orange signs that screams out to you, wrong way. Now there are things in Scripture, warnings in Scripture, that screams out to us, this is the wrong way to follow. We're fixing to read some of that in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord, who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Any teaching that denies the Lordship of Jesus or says there's righteousness apart from His precious blood that He shed on the cross, any teaching that says there is a way to the holiness of God on your own or good works, that is a destructive heresy. And the church says what? Amen. That's wrong way. It's a big wrong way sign that the Word of God is screaming out, wrong way. Wrong way. Destructive, it says. And it denies the Lord who bought them. He bought us with what? Not with silver or gold, but by His precious blood. We're not our own. And bring on themselves swift destruction. Verse 2, and many, everyone say many. We're going to see that a few times this morning in Scripture. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Don't go down the wrong way. Listen to this. Same chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Everyone listen. If you started with Jesus, you don't need anything else. If you started with Jesus, stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Don't go off the path. You stay on the straight and narrow. You stay with Jesus. But it has happened to them according to their true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. And that's how sick it is. to be on the wrong way, to be in a destructive heresy and be under the judgment of God. That's how sick it is and how destructive it is in the eyes of a holy God. So these are stop signs. Wrong way. And they're found all through Scripture. We can't, of course, read all of them. But Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, there is a way that seems right to a man, but at the end it's death. Ecclesiastes, Solomon, wisest person that ever lived. Solomon tried everything, though. He married a bunch of foreign wives, and they brought in their paganistic religion, and Solomon started worshiping false gods. Solomon started worshiping pleasure. He started looking for material gain. He tried everything that was under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. He absolutely had everything and tried everything that could bring pleasure to a man. He thought it was the right way, but it's the wrong way. And yet, the conclusion of it all is to love God and to serve Him. That's the best we can do. That's the right way. Now, it's like a bird was flying around a lake and he saw a fisherman. And this fisherman had a can of worms. And the bird was hungry. He didn't feel like going scratching around for food, but he asked the fisherman if he could have a worm. The fisherman said, "Yes, you can have a worm, but give me one of your feathers." Okay? Well, that didn't seem to harm him, so he gave him a feather, and he got a nice worm, and he ate it, flew off, and the next day he didn't want to go dig for worms or to hunt for food. The same fisherman was there fishing. He gave a feather for a worm. Well, this happened for a few days. Then all of a sudden, you know what happened? That fisherman didn't eat fish for supper that night. He ate a bird. The bird couldn't fly away. Isn't it like that? When we're like Solomon, we think, well, this won't hurt us. If I rationalize this and rationalize it with my fallen nature, conscience, and not rely on Scripture or the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, but if I rationalize this thing, it won't hurt me. But once we start rationalizing sin, this sin, then to rationalize this sin is a little easier and a little easier, and we're just like that bird. We don't realize the destruction that it will occur when we just rationalize a little bit at a time. Folks, there's a wrong way to follow. The Word of God says many places, wrong way. Wrong way. Don't go down those paths that man says is okay. But there is a right way to follow. Amen? There's a right way to follow. Matthew chapter 7, turn with me to there. Matthew chapter 7. And this also speaks of two different ways, the wrong way and the right way. But we're focusing on the right way now. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says this, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Folks, don't go down the broad way. Many. Everyone say many. Many goes down the broad way. Okay? And it seems like Christian people today are looking at the broad way and we're rationalizing this and that, and we completely lose our witness. completely lose our witness? How can you encourage someone to come to worship when you've done rationalized so many other things to keep yourself out of worship? That's just one example. Okay? There's a wrong way. Now, it says this in verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. I thought it was going to be easy. It's not. It's a difficult way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There is a right way to follow. It's narrow and it is difficult, but it is a straight, straight path. It's straight. This right way to follow. You see, there was a young woman who picked up a book in a bookstore, and she started reading it and said, "Wow, this is dull. This is difficult to read." So she lays it to the side. Well, just a few weeks later, she meets a handsome man, and she falls desperately in love with this man and marries him and just head over heels for him. And then through the course of that, she realizes that he was the author of that dull, difficult book that she laid to the side and would not read because it was dull and difficult. But you know what? Since she was madly in love with this man, you know what she did? She dug that book out. She read it from cover to cover, and she studied that book because he was the author of it. Folks, it's narrow way. It's a narrow way that involves a book. It involves God's Word. It's reading God's Word. If you love Jesus, you're going to love the author of this book because he wrote this book. Amen? If you want to know all you want to know about Jesus and the love of God towards you demonstrated through the cross of Jesus Christ, you read this book. You study this book. That's a narrow way. And this narrow way also involves taking up a cross and following Jesus. That's a narrow way. It's a difficult path, but it is straight. You take up the cross daily and follow Him. This narrow way involves living godly for Him. And living for Him and giving your whole life, not just a percentage of your life to Jesus, but it's giving your whole life and everything that involves your life to Him. And it's living godly for Him. This is a narrow way. It's a difficult way. But it's the right way. I have one other passage of Scripture, and that is Hebrews chapter 10 that speaks of this right way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. You see, this involves the new covenant. Not the old covenant, but the new covenant was made between God the Father and God the Son. God the Son offered up this once for sin sacrifice in the heavenly tabernacle. That's what Hebrews is about. And in the heavenly tabernacle, Jesus offers His sacrifice, and it's a covenant between God Himself. And you and I enter in this new and living way, and it's by faith in Jesus Christ. And now we can enter in to the holiest through the covenant. God is a covenant God, and we enter in by faith in Jesus. That's the only way. The only way. And it's a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You hold fast, don't waver to the right or to the left. You stay on the straight and narrow path. You stay with Jesus. You started with him. You stay with Jesus. Verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That day is his return. He's coming back. You stay on this straight and narrow, difficult, but it's the right way to follow. This narrow way is not friendship with the world, but it is friendship with God. This is a narrow way. You see, trusting in Jesus and entering in this straight gate and having boldness in this relationship where we can be before a holy God and he looks upon Christ's righteousness, not our righteousness is but filthy rags, but when by faith in Jesus Christ, holy God looks upon the righteousness of Christ that I am in. I'm hidden in Christ in God. Amen? And we can have boldness. It's being a friend of God and not the friend of the world. You see, in Islamic countries, when a person says, I believe in Jesus, that has great meaning to them. They believe in his death for sin. They believe he resurrected from the grave. They believe he's coming back. And when they say, I believe in Jesus, they have given their all to him as Lord. And it can cost them economically. It can cost them socially. They become outcasts even from their families. It costs everything to be a follower of Jesus Christ. How about in America? When we say we believe in Jesus, well, that's socially accepted. My grandma believed in Jesus. It doesn't cost us anything. You see? And sometimes when people just say, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's just something to say, is it not? But what is it really, what does it mean to you to be a follower of Jesus? Other places it costs everything. What has it cost you lately? A little time. What does it cost you for you to really be a follower of Jesus? You see, the right way is to give him your all. Your all. That's the right way. And the way, by the way, is a person. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I am the way. That means the one and only way. If you deny that, you have denied Jesus. And that is a destructive heresy to say there are other ways. Okay? There's only one way. And it's in Jesus. It's believing in him to the saving of the soul. That's the right way. Don't go down the wrong way street. These signs are saying wrong way, right way. The right way is Jesus and only Jesus. So I'm going to ask you, do you believe in Jesus? Most of the world will agree that there was a historical Jesus, right? Everyone knows that. But have you given your life to Him? Are you a follower of the way? Are you a disciple of Jesus? That's the question. I know I'm talking to people on a beautiful Sunday. You could be doing 100 other things, but praise God, you're here this morning. But have you really given your life to Jesus? Have you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the warnings of Scripture. Lord, maybe we've heard them so many times that we've even become callous to them. Lord, we know Your Holy Spirit can touch a calloused heart and a calloused mind. So, Lord, we pray that You'll encourage us who are on the right path, but, Lord, convict those who are going down the wrong way and have denied You in some way or another. Lord, may we repent and turn to You by faith and believe in You to the saving of the soul. And may You have all glory in Jesus' name. Amen.